Hey, angels, rise and shine.
Good morning. You want some breakfast?
You ready to go and face this day head on?
Let's go do the thing.
Let's do it.
It's the Phantom Family Podcast.
Hello, friends. I am Tori Phantom here with my husband, Jimothy.
I'm Jimothy.
He is Jimothy, and we are talking to you on the Phantom Family Podcast.
It's the Phantom Family Podcast.
That's a podcast.
By us, the Phantom Family. Phantom. In your ears.
You're listening. That's.
What if they're not listening? What if they're talking over us? Hey, listen.
Listen. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me.
Ooh, that's a good one. I feel very threatened. I turned around to look at you just then. You weren't even talking to me.
Are your listening ears turned on?
No.
I want to make an announcement to everyone listening to us right now because I can't stop thinking about this. And I just want everyone to know that there's a pumpkin sticker on your back.
Why are you telling people this?
Because the way that we record this is it's a very weird setup we have here because, you know, that's, you do what you got to do, right? But so I actually, when we record this, I am looking at Jim's back and there is a very sparkly jack-o'-lantern sticker on your back. And that's what I'm going to be looking at this whole episode, just so everyone knows.
Thank you. This is engaging, riveting podcast material. Talking about a sticker.
It came from one of the kids, so it's family related.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, it was on the couch somewhere, I'm sure.
I'm sure. There's stickers everywhere.
There are stickers everywhere, all over everything in
this house.
What's
funny about it is the kids love sticking stickers on things, but they get real, like, mad when I put googly eyes on their baby pictures.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's like weird because they put stickers all over my stuff, but I put googly eyes on the pictures of them. And
which is
like,
hilarious.
It's so funny. And they're like, why did you do that? And I'm like, I'm laughing. That's why it's funny.
I was telling someone at the radio recently how you did that on the pictures of the two older girls that's in the hallway over there. Mm-hmm. And I forget about it all the time. And I'll catch myself like going to the bathroom and I'll see the googly eyes and I'll just giggle as I walk down the hall.
That's the whole reason I did it. Like, I highly recommend if you are a parent, you don't need to do it to every picture in your house. Just pick one picture of your kids you have hung up and you're going to put it on the glass on the frame.
Yeah,
you know,
don't ruin the picture
you paid for. But you're just going to take some googly eyes. You're going to glue them to the glass, okay? Because what's going to happen is you're busy and you don't often think about the pictures on your walls. So it's just going to slip your mind, right? Like, you know you did it, but you're going to forget. And every now and then, that picture is going to catch your eyes and you're going to see those googly eyes and it's going to give you a laugh just when you need it. And I have it on one picture in our house. And every time that I notice it, I laugh. And it's good for my mental health. So googly eyes your babies. Not like in person, though. They probably wouldn't like that. But the pictures of them, like, absolutely, there's no rule saying you can't do that.
Although we did put the big googly eyes on the middle one. I don't remember what the nickname you've given her at this time.
Squirrely girl.
Sure.
Yeah.
On old SG, you put the googly eyes on her.
I didn't put them on her. She thought that was funny. So we did that together. That was a joint effort. She had the big googly eyes and she squeezed her little eyeballs around them. And then she had googly eyes and we took pictures and videos and laughed a lot.
It was hilarious.
It was so funny.
You know what else
is... Just invest in googly eyes.
You know what else is fun to put those on?
What?
Inanimate objects in the house too. Put the googly eyes on your toaster.
Yes, I've done that too. Every now and then I just get a little googly.
Great googly moogly.
In a silly googly mood.
But seriously, yeah, you're just in a silly googly mood. Seriously, buy googly eyes. Put them on random things in your house. Put them by the electrical sockets. Make everything just look surprised.
Actually, I'm going to say don't do any of the electrical sockets because if you have kids, like young kids, probably don't do that because you don't want to attract your kids to electrical sockets.
Okay, fine. You know what? That's the one.
With our 9-year-old, she wouldn't touch the outlet. She would laugh at that. But with the 3-year-old, she would be more interested in the outlet, right? She just mainly ignores them because she's 3. But if I put googly eyes on the outlet, she would want to touch it. So I don't put googly eyes on your outlet. There's an age limit there. I don't know what it is. But be safe with your googly eyes. Yeah, we're going to be careful with the googly eyes. This episode is about googly eye safety.
This is a googly eye safety podcast. We are abandoning parenting. We're only going to be speaking in it's OSHA adjacent. It's not really related to OSHA. It's a different department.
It's parenting related. I don't know. that many. I mean, honestly, I don't want to say that because I don't know a lot of people who aren't parents. So maybe non-parents also have a lot of googly eyes. Like, who am I to make that assumption?
They might.
They might.
There are probably people out there with just an overabundance of googly eyes.
If you have a whole bunch of googly eyes in your house like I do, please DM me on Instagram, tori.phantom, and let me know where you put yours, because I know I'm not the only one who does this, but I just need to take a poll. Like, if you put googly eyes all over all the things, just tell me about that, okay?
No, even better. Make a video on TikTok. Tag us on there.
Yeah, that too. Whatever feels best for you, honestly. Because some people don't like to make videos. That's cool.
Some people don't. Some people don't like to read books. Some people like to listen to books being read to them.
That is true. And did you know that there's like a whole service, like, and we have a link that can help them get a month of that for free?
Yeah, they can hear these books read audibly to them through Amazon's Audible.
Yep.
See what I did there?
That was great.
You picking up what I'm throwing down?
Very smooth. And what is that link, Jimothy?
Well, if you go to audibletrial.com/phantom, you can get a free month of Amazon's Audible service. It's normally $14.95, but if you're a brand new subscriber, never signed up for it before, you can get a free month using our code. That's going to give you a free book, so you'll get a credit for any book in all of Audible. And even if you let your subscription lapse or you cancel it, that book is yours forever.
Every
book you pay for with your subscription and you get your credits for every month, you get to keep that book in your Audible account forever.
And you do get a free credit for a book every single month that you are a member.
Well,
so.
You do. I mean, you pay for it, so you get a credit toward it. It's weird calling it free. I don't want people to think like, oh, I get this free.
You're right. You pay for the subscription, but you get a credit for a book with your monthly subscription.
You do get a credit. It's $14.95. You get a credit for one download every month, but you do get an extra free credit on top of that, so you get two book credits if you're a Prime member.
Fancy.
So you do get all that.
Highly
so again,
recommend.
Check that out. That is at www.audibletrial.com/phantom for your free month of Audible. All right. So, Tori.
Yeah.
Do you remember how we met?
Can you refresh my memory?
Let me remind you. I can't believe you've forgotten.
I know.
We were working at that factory making guitars,
mm-hmm.
and I decided that I wanted to be a little trickster, and I took one of the guitars, and instead of making it like a guitar wood top, I took the top and I made it like a drum, so that instead of playing the guitar with a pick, you had to hit it with a drumstick and hold the strings down, and I created what I called a drum tar. It didn't take off, and I actually ended up getting fired from the job, and you felt so bad about me being fired because you laughed the whole time that I told you about my idea for the drum tar.
Of course.
That you quit, and then you joined me in solidarity, and we said, you know what, this is love, and we ran away and we got married literally that year.
Is that true?
Of course it is. Of
really
course. Oh yeah.
Are you sure
you don't remember?
Are you?
You were there.
Are you lying to me?
What?
Are you lying?
I'm
liar. That's not how we met. Anyway, this week we're talking about lying.
We're talking about lying, friends.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
If your pants are on fire, please stop, drop, and roll.
Yes.
Stop lying, drop to your knees, and roll away, you
actually,
filthy liar.
If you're a liar, liar, pants on fire, you should actually lie down and start rolling. So
yes, you should lie more.
You should become a liar, like lying on the ground.
Hmm.
Anyway, how did your family handle it when you lied as a child and or teenager, adolescent human?
I was constantly truthful. What was that guffaw?
I don't believe that at all.
Okay, so here's the thing. I remember very distinctively when being a young child. I think I've talked to you before about the teacher who used to like slap me in the face and stuff.
Yes, this is the weekly trauma dump, friends.
Yes,
buckle
it is
in.
The trauma dump. Trauma dump. So there was my principal, and I would get in trouble a lot because that teacher would always send me over there, and we were right across the hall from the principal's office, so she would send me there constantly. And sometimes I would do stuff, but I didn't want to get in trouble for it, so I would just lie and say I didn't do it, obviously,
as children
do. And he would tell me, he's like, JK, I know when you're lying because your eyebrows go up. Because, like, I would always get this voice like this, and my eyebrows would go up very high. Like, And I remember thinking about that. And that's like a conscious tell that I feel like I have to this day.
Yes.
But I don't feel like I use it when I'm lying. I feel like that's my, like, I'm very frustrated. I'm very emotionally heightened. That's more of what
you
it was.
Honestly, you're a great liar, but I don't think you lie much as much as you're a storyteller. There's a difference.
I do be telling stories.
Because you do that to me all the time. Because you are the trivia master of the world. And so Jim has this fun habit where he will be like, hey, did you know this really weird, outlandish thing?
No, I don't do it. Like, I don't just come up with things. I'll just look at the top of like a coffee can or something. I'm like, oh, do you know they used to make those out of wood, but then they found that the plastic snapped on there better, even though the old wood ones had a plastic thing on there? And you're like, really?
It is some random trivia fact in his delivery. It always sounds like it could be true because there is so much random, wild trivia he knows that I have no reason to think it's not true.
Yep.
And then I go, really? And he goes, no.
Well, the other day I told you something absolutely true and you're like, and you just immediately didn't believe me. You were calling me out like, no, that's not right. That's not real. That's not real. And you were telling
Pumpkin Pie,
you're like, no, Jimmy's lying.
Because I'm so used to it.
I told you the story of why they have the mystery flavored Dum Dums.
I did. I thought it wasn't true.
No, it's absolutely true.
It sounded like excess. A dad story. You know what I mean? Like a dad tells you some random thing and you're like, yeah, it sounds right.
That was a real story. It's not like, oh, you know why they have the high heel shoes? It's because, oh, they had too much of the shoe and they couldn't throw it away. So they just sanded it all off and leveled it down. And that's where you get the shoe from. No, that's just me making some stuff up to tell the kids.
But it's
right
hard
now
to tell because you're good at storytelling. But anyway, so this principle said that your eyebrows do be raisin.
Yes, and I was always accused of lying, and I probably was in those situations because I didn't want to get in trouble. But I didn't really get in trouble and have to lie about things when I was a kid with my family or anything. I was a good kid. I didn't have the need to lie.
Yeah.
What about you, delinquent? What did you do?
I wasn't a delinquent.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't. I just, like, my parents sucked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, which
but
made
like
you a delinquent.
My parents kind of had this way of not trusting us at all for any reason ever. It was very much projection of the crap they did growing up, and they were like, obviously our kids suck too because we're raising them.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, like, I guess like me and my brother suck in some ways, but we're good people at least, you know, like despite them.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. What?
Continuing.
Anyway, so my parents, they just didn't trust it at all. Like, so much so that, like, even if we were being honest, that they were like, no, we don't believe you. And so it came to this point where it was like there was no point in telling the truth because sometimes the truth would still get us in trouble because they didn't believe it.
The truth will get you beat.
Right. And that was a big one, was like, if you tell the truth, you won't be in trouble to get
horse
us to tell the truth.
Hockey.
And then, like, we would tell the truth and then they would hurt us. That you were the liar this time. Like,
you lied to me.
You said I wouldn't get in trouble, and then you hit me.
That's like the classic, like, smacking the kid, like, we don't get in this family.
Right.
As they, like, beat the kid.
It's a hit the kid to teach him not
do
to
we,
hit that makes
do
sense.
Do we hit in this family as you're being smacked, and you're
right.
Like, yes.
Apparently. Like, that's what you're teaching me right in this moment.
I think
thank
so.
But yeah, so I mean, like, we were punished, like, no matter what. And if we were ever caught in a lie, it was like, you have no trust ever. And it could be like the smallest lie. Like, did you eat the last cheese stick? And you would lie because, like, in our family, we weren't allowed to eat. That's a whole other bucket load of trauma we don't need to get into. But you, if someone said, did you eat that? You'd lie, you know? And if you got caught, like, with the wrapper near your bedroom, like, you were in big trouble. It's like, all of your trust is gone.
Oh, I'm remembering.
Over a cheese stick.
I'm remembering a lie that I told now when I was in maybe sixth grade. We used to get issues of Country Weekly magazine, you know, the CMT magazine. And there was an issue that had Leanne Rimes in it. She was a country singer. She's still kind of a popular person.
Doesn't Taylor Swift love her?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Taylor Swift other than
I
don't particularly
TikTok.
Enjoy her as much as some people do.
That might
do.
Not be Leanne Rimes. It might have been someone else. I don't know
anyway,
people's names.
Anyway, so Leanne Rimes was in this magazine.
Yes.
And my best friend
is Leanne Rimes. No, that's Shania Twain. Shania Twain is the one Taylor Swift likes. Leanne Rimes, she released a single. I had it on a CD. It was
she had
like a
few.
Single.
Yeah, she
and
had.
And that was the only one.
It's like
it's another one. It's something with a wolf or moonlight or something.
Can't Fight the Moonlight.
That's the one. That is the one Leanne Rimes song I know. Can't Fight the Moonlight. I had the CD. It was one song. You just unlocked a memory. So I'm sorry for everyone who just had to hear that. But he said Leanne Rimes, and my brain just spiraled into that, and now I know that's what it was. Anyway, so. Leanne Rimes
was in this magazine. My best friend had a bit of a crush on her. That was like his little celebrity crush. So I remember I tore the pages out of the magazine because it was like the end of the week and we were going to get a new one like that weekend.
Of course.
And so I tore the pages out and I guess maybe my aunt hadn't read it. I don't know. But she was flipping through the magazine. It was like, did somebody tear pages out of here? And I did it like real smooth, dude. Like you couldn't tell. I think there was an article missing, and then like she might have looked and saw like that it was kind of torn a little bit.
Do you remember when people read magazines regularly?
I would still read magazines. People do read magazines. It's just you don't. I would. I lied, and I was like, no, I don't know what happened to that. And she was like, are you sure? Like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. And I never like owned up to it or fessed up to it or anything. And I probably think about that moment. Once,
I feel like you should just call her tomorrow
right now.
And just tell her.
Hey.
Like, I would love to know if she remembers that.
Well,
and
I bet she knew.
I bet she knew it was you.
She definitely
but it wasn't,
knew. That's why
it
she
wasn't
questioned
a big
me.
Deal to her because it was just the magazine. But, like, I think you should, I think we should follow up with this next week. You have to call your aunt.
Come clean.
You have to come clean to her.
Well, the thing
30
was,
years later.
She probably thought that I was, like, some little pervo, like, like puberty boy. Like tearing
Leanne Rimes. I never want to hear those words out of your mouth.
Yeah, me neither. But she probably thought I was tearing these out to like take and like hide in my room somewhere
right,
or something. And I wasn't.
Boys.
It wasn't for me. It was for my buddy. Like it was for him at school. Like, hey man, I got you this. You said you liked Leanne Rimes, so I got this magazine page.
But that's such a cute kid thing to do.
I told you he's my best friend since like day
Pringles?
One of kindergarten.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What? Can we give him a different nickname?
It's up to you, bud. That's how I know him.
I was just gonna call him my bud. We didn't have to go the Pringles route, but anyway,
nope. All right.
So that was that. Maybe I'll finally come clean. It's been 25 years.
It's been 30 years.
It's been 25. It was like 96, 97, 98 even maybe. So like 23 years probably.
It's been a long time.
It's been a hot minute, but I do remember I was in middle school. Is all
Honesty
I remember.
Honesty is important.
So
I don't think you'll get. No, actually, no. I know your aunt. You might still get in trouble for
it. I might still get in trouble, but it wasn't for me. I was doing a favor for a friend. He didn't ask me to do it. I was just doing it because I thought
so
it was disposable.
Thoughtful.
I was in that moment.
So thoughtful.
I was being thoughtful. Now thinking back, it's like kind of weird though that you did that.
That's kind of the whole thing, isn't it? Because kids don't think the same way we do.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, like, so for me, like, the growing up. Any time that I lied about anything, it was really an act of protection, right? I was trying to protect myself because, like, I lived in a dangerous household.
Yeah, it was self-preservation.
It was. It had to be. And I didn't know because I had a child's brain. I didn't know the difference between what my parents would consider a big thing or a small thing because sometimes small things were huge to them. It really depended on their moods. So I just kind of kept to myself and I lied and I hid things. And by the time I was a teenager, I was really good at it. And so I kind of moved from lying to hiding things. And again, this was all for me personally, self-preservation and safety. And it was like to the point that I remember in high school, I was struggling in a math class. And I mean, I was also heavily struggling with my mental health. And those two things went hand in hand, which in hindsight,
yeah,
I can tell.
Really kills my mental health, too. I understand.
Well, no, I mean, because I was struggling in school because I was struggling with my mental health, right?
Yeah, I get you.
And so those went hand in hand, but I couldn't talk to my family about it because if I tried, especially because, you know, we're talking 15 years ago, like we are still dealing with a mental health stigma, unfortunately, but 15 years ago, it was a lot worse, right? So we need to make more progress, but progress has fortunately been made for our kids now. But So 15 years ago, I'd tell my mom I'm depressed, I'm going through this, and she was mad at me for it. You know, that made her look bad. It made her look like a bad parent.
Oh, I'm failing as a parent.
Yes, yes.
This is my fault. Is that what you're telling me? That I'm not a good mom?
Right, very much. Oh, you are having mental health issues? I guess
this
I'm the victim
crisis.
Here. Like, poor me that my kid is having trouble, you know. So
I understand that. That's how my ex was when I would say, like, oh, you know, I'm not feeling really great. Why? Because I'm failing as a girlfriend? Well,
right.
Yeah, kind of, actually. But
well, I guess that's old. Different than Ben. I remember this specifically because I got in a lot of trouble because I had missed a lot of school because of my mental health. My mom's mad about it. So I was trying to hide all that from her because she was always mad at me. And I was falling behind in my classes, and falling behind was affecting my mental health. And then I was struggling and I couldn't do it. And then it became to that point. It came to a head.
A climax.
Yes. That was, I got like real into that story and then forgot that word and it just kind of fizzled. But anyway, I was just too overwhelmed to even try to catch up and I just kind of gave up. And my mom worked in the elementary school, which I went to a K-12 school. So like it was the same school, you know? And apparently that teacher called my mom and my mom like showed up in the lunchroom and like threw a fit. Like I was mortified, you know? And she was mad at me because I lied to her and said all my work was done. But there was no way for me to tell her the truth that I was struggling. And so I ended up lying and saying I just didn't know that I was missing it. You know, it was grasping at straws, trying to find a lie that would keep my punishment minimum. Because no matter what I said, I was in trouble when the truth was I shouldn't have been in trouble. I should have been supported.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the kind of thing I have in mind personally when I think about our kids lying and whatever. And of course, it's not as extreme because our kids are growing up with a pretty cushy life.
Yeah.
And
they're
I'm glad
Nerf
we can
balls.
Give it to them. But
well, we do. They do tell some lies sometimes.
But do you know why?
Because they want to stay playing Roblox. And she says, like, oh, I didn't hear the timer. And it's like, no,
I did some research on this the other day, which is that is a lie. But I did some research on this the other day. And did you know it's actually like lying isn't a bad behavior, right? It's human nature. And so I think when we think of kids lying, we're like, that's a bad behavior. Like, OK, Karen, look at the mirror. Did you not lie this week? Because we all lie for various reasons.
I'm in customer service. My job is to lie.
Sometimes it's white lies. Sometimes it's bigger lies. Sometimes it's lying to protect someone's feelings. But we all lie. Like House said it, right? Like how many years ago was that? Like everybody lies. And that's the truth. And it's not inherently bad. I think it's really about our intentions. But I'm a pretty honest person. I don't lie often. And when I do, there's going to be a good reason for it.
Like what? Name one right now.
Christmas?
That's not a lie.
With the kids?
That's different. Which
it's a lie.
Knowing you, it's this probably going to be the next
lie.
Topic. That's a surprise versus a secret versus a lie.
Nope, that one's a little different. Santa Claus is a little different. Anyway, but what I'm saying here is everybody lies, right? And so it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing, but we don't want it to become a problem, right?
Yeah.
And so it's actually developmentally appropriate for kids to start lying by the time that they are toddlers. And this is the thing that I kind of consider with it is that when a toddler comes up to us and tells us this outlandish story that they come up with in our imagination, we think it's adorable, right? But if you look at it in another perspective, that story they made up is a lie. They say, well, I did this and I did that and then I did this. But it's just a story. They're telling you a silly story. They're lying. That's a lie.
Every author is a liar. I'm looking at you, R.L. Stein.
I mean, but if we're thinking developmentally wise, right? But also, yes, authors are liars.
Goosebumps,
but like,
all lies.
When, I'm not saying like telling a story about something. When a child comes up to you and is like, well, I did this and I did that. And you know they're not telling the truth. They're telling you a silly story. That's a lie.
Yeah.
But it's cute. But then the second that they like lie because they did something wrong, you're
did
like,
you
oh,
this?
How dare
no.
you do that, right? And so when our kids lie, my goal is to figure out why. Why the lie?
Why?
Because, okay, so I've broken it down. This is my thoughts on it. There are a few reasons a child might lie.
Let's get it.
Okay, so one of the reasons that they might lie is because they are afraid of their parents' reaction.
Sure.
Which might be anger. I don't want my parents to be mad at me. I don't want to get in trouble. Or I don't want to make my parents sad. If they knew that this happened, They might be sad, so I'm just going to hide it. I'm going to tell them I don't know what happened because I don't want them to be sad, right?
Well, I hid the Leanne Rimes picture because I didn't want to get in trouble because I thought someone would be mad at me. So I lied. I was like, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't send it with the magazine.
Right. And so that fear of reaction, and I mean, in our house, like, our kids really don't get in, like, what most would consider, like, big trouble. You know, like, there are consequences, but, like, where... Our goal is to teach our kids, not traumatize them. So
it's more of a rehabilitation than a punishment.
Honestly. And so our kids are not afraid of getting in trouble. But what I've learned is when our kids lie is that it is very much that it's a protective lie. Like, I mean, I told the story on TikTok the other day about our five-year-old. We bought groceries and I got some avocados. And so I do this thing where I bring in the groceries. But like, I already like went and bought the groceries. I paid for the groceries. I put the groceries in the car. I put the groceries in the house. And then I put the cold stuff away. And then I'm like bored and I go do something else. Like, I get distracted, you know? And so the avocados were left on the floor in the bags. But it must have rolled out because I went back down because I took a 10-minute break. I come back down to the kitchen and there's a like half-smashed avocado on the counter. And I look at it and I immediately knew it was Squirrely Girl, right? Because like if it had been pumpkin pie, she would have come to me immediately and been like, Mom, like this is smushed.
She would have asked to eat it.
No, she would have been sad about it. She wouldn't have eaten it because it touched the floor. I would have had to talk her into it.
Yeah.
And if it had been Beanie Baby, she would have painted with the avocado on the wall because she's three and that's developmentally appropriate.
Yep.
But our five-year-old put it on the counter. So she made a mess and she cleaned it up. Like that's a big thing. That's a big good win, right? But I asked her about it and I said, why don't you tell me that this happened, you know? And she's like, well, I didn't want you to be sad because I knew you loved avocados. So she thought, well, I ruined this. I don't really know what to do with it. But I stepped on it and I see that I made a mess. So I did pick up the mess, but I didn't tell you because I didn't want you to be sad. And when I had asked her about it initially, she wouldn't answer me. Like she was trying to hide it. And it wasn't because she was afraid of getting in trouble. She was afraid she didn't want me to be sad because she knew I loved avocados.
Yeah.
And I told her, you know, I thanked her because I want to encourage that honesty. And I told her, I was like, you know, you're not going to get in trouble for it. I said, like, I should have picked up the avocado. Like, if I didn't want the avocado to get stepped on, I should have put away all my groceries before I left the room.
Yeah.
So, like, that's my fault, too. Also, thank you for picking it up instead of letting it sit on the floor to get stepped on more. Also, please tell me when things happen right away, because a lot of times I can offer a fix or a solution or help you. And in this case... Because this avocado was recently stepped on, I can still eat it. Had it sat out for, you know, another hour, I might have browned.
Yeah, but now you got avocado toast a lot sooner than you planned
right.
on it.
And that's honestly, that's what I made immediately. And it was just seasoned with a little bit of baby foot, like whatever.
It's a delicacy in
yeah,
some countries.
Like she just like pre-smashed the avocado for my sandwich. It's not a big deal. But that's a thing that I've noticed. So that's one reason. You know, the kids are afraid of our reactions, right? Another thing is they could just be storytelling or telling that story because they made a mistake and they feel bad about it. And so perhaps the way that their brain is in development, they're like, well, if I tell a different story, maybe I can change what happened.
Maybe this will, I can change the past.
I can change what happened, you know, and so it is just kind of nature for kids to do that. And so I think the goal is to kind of deter them away from it because we do want our kids to be honest with us. Like that's important for their safety. That's important to build that foundation of communication and trust because like, sure, my kids are little, but eventually they'll be older and making mistakes that might be more detrimental than stepping on an avocado. So it's about building the trust.
Build it all the way up from the foundation. You build a strong foundation and your walls will sit there nicely.
So how do you talk to the kids about lying, Tim?
It's simple. I just waterboard them until I get the truth out of them.
That's never happened.
It's never happened.
You're
not
lying
even once.
Right now.
I am lying right now. You are good. You can't even see my eyebrows, but they are
sky high.
I can
see the jack-o'-lantern sticker still.
The jack-o'-lantern doesn't matter. The eyebrows don't matter.
Its eyebrows look like they're up.
I don't. Honestly, I usually do the same thing like you say. Like, hey, listen. Tell me the truth. You're not in trouble. And the thing is, I follow through with that, though.
Follow through. If you say you're not going to get in trouble, they can't get in trouble or else they're not going to trust you.
It's like, thank you for telling me. I said, I wish you had told me sooner without me having to ask you, but thank you for telling me the truth. You know, that's typically how I approach it. Like, yeah. I don't get mad at the kids for things. I get mad and I yell at a lot of things, like when
Video
I'm playing
games.
Rocket League. Yep. Stuff like that. When I'm changing guitar strings.
Mm-hmm.
When I am trying to talk to a pharmacy and I get the robot, I wouldn't dare
Jim
talk to a human.
So mad at robo voices.
I would never talk to a human with such disdain and just look down upon this, whatever that word is, as I do the robot voices with the things. I'm just yelling expletives, like,
yes.
Give me a representative.
And then it doesn't understand because he's so angry.
Because
I'm
so
angry.
The other
time Jim gets angry is if he's walking through a room and there's something on the floor and he steps on it. And, like, we live in a house with three young kids, so there's always something on the floor. So that causes Jim some stress,
too. I have very tender bottoms of my feet.
Very tender foot.
I don't like stepping on things. I don't walk outside without shoes.
Yeah.
I've never liked it. I remember growing up, my aunt would always walk in the gravel outside and she wouldn't wear shoes. I would always have to wear shoes. Like, she'd be barefoot on gravel. And I remember thinking, like, what is wrong with you? This is terrible. And
yeah.
I still, to this day, I can't do it.
Yeah. Squirrely Girl
does.
That's
the truth.
Squirrely Girl walks on gravel without shoes on. And I'm like, I bought you brand new shoes and they're really cool. And she's like, I don't like the shoes.
I know.
I'm just going to do this anyway. Okay, do your thing, girl. But that's honestly, I think, the biggest thing. If you want your kids to be honest to you, if you use the term, you will not be in trouble if you tell me the truth to get the truth out of them.
If you take a plea deal, you have to follow through.
You have to follow through because, like, you are risking your kids' trust in you. And that's kind of the way that, like, we run our house, is that our kids don't have to earn our trust. They're born with it. And we are building the communication so that we can maintain it. So I trust my kids. Like, if I say, did you do this on purpose? And they say no, I believe them. Because you know what? Sometimes I say, did you do that on purpose? And they say, I did.
Yes.
I did. And
well,
I say,
why did you do that?
And I say, why? Because most things can be solved with a conversation, you know? And sometimes we have to take pause before we have that conversation. But if we really want to teach our kids, isn't communicating the best way to do it? And so that's kind of the whole thing that I do, is if I catch my kid in a lie, whether it's big or small, my thing is always, like, why? You know? And then we talk about why it's important to be honest. And that's an issue we've had with our 9-year-old. She gets stuck in school. She's very similar to the way I was, because she's so used to things being really easy for her that the second she struggles, she doesn't know how to ask for help because she's never had to do it. And she's a little bit socially anxious and she's like, I don't want to have to ask. And so we have to have these conversations like, well, you can't just avoid it and lie about it, because that's not okay, because this is your responsibility. So it's like, once we find out the reason for the lie, sometimes that's a really quick conversation, and sometimes that's layers of conversations, because, okay, you lied about this thing because of this, and that's a whole different feeling. So, like, let's unpack that. Okay, and that's attached to that. Okay, let's unpack that. And it's digging, and it's getting your kid to self-reflect on their own feelings to figure out how we got to this point and how we can do better next time.
Yeah.
And honestly, it works pretty well. Like, our 9-year-old is an incredibly honest kid. She very rarely lies. And our 5-year-old is kind of going through that lying phase that little ones do, and we're working on it. And she is gaining, like, our kids, I feel like they have to earn our trust more than we have to, or we have to earn their trust more than they have to earn our trust, right? Because they're born to, and they adore us. Like, we're their heroes. We're their parents. Like, there's so much power there, and I never want to abuse that. I never want to abuse the power of being a parent. And so I always try to, like, humanize myself to my kids. Like, yes, I'm your parent, and I have the authority, but I respect you. And I want them to trust me. And so that's why I answer every question why, and that's why I want to talk to them about everything and really show them, like, I said you're not going to get in trouble, and you're not in trouble. You told me what happened. Like, let's talk about it. Like, let's fix it so we can avoid it.
So that we don't have to have this conversation again.
And then we do the whole thing. I discuss integrity. My kids hear the word integrity
a lot.
So much. Like, my kids know the definition for integrity, because I like to use normal human language with my small children, and I will cut myself off and be like, do you know what that word means? And if they don't, I define it. And
what's your definition of integrity?
We do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, even when no one is watching.
Yes. All right. That's the same exact thing.
Yes. And so my kids know that includes truth telling. But the other thing with honesty is, it's not just about our kids lying. It's about the way that they trust us with things that are wrong can be a huge safety implication for them. And what I mean by that is that if they feel like they have to hide things from us, they might feel more likely to want to or trust someone else when they say, don't tell your parents.
Yeah.
Because if our kids feel like, okay, I can't tell my parents if I did X, Y, Z, I messed up, I made a mistake, I'm going to hide it, try to fix it myself. I can't tell my parents because I'm going to get in trouble. Well, if some tragic situation happens where they need to tell us something, they might not feel safe doing that either. And so, like, that's one of the things we tell our kids as well, is that there's a difference between a secret and a surprise.
Yeah.
And they should never lie to us. So if an adult, like, this is one of the biggest safety things, we'll have to do an episode on safety with kids.
Yeah, we got to do one. Can I just briefly segue into one thing about stranger danger?
Yes.
Do you remember the time that Pumpkin Pie, you asked her, oh, what do you do if someone comes up and says, oh, hey, I'm your mom's friend, come get in the car with me? And what did you say?
I said, well, you know who my friends are, right? If someone said to you, I'm your mom's friend, well, you would know because you know who my friends are. And she goes, I do. I said, yeah. Yes.
And then you described these people. And she goes, you only have three friends?
Yeah. She is really shocked by that because she's friends with everyone she meets. And I was like, yeah.
Just roasted.
Yeah. It's fun having kids because they will roast you on
brutal
your whole
honesty.
Existence. Yeah, it's fun.
But anyway.
It's a fun time.
Back to you.
But so that's kind of the thing, though, is that we always tell our kids that no adult should ever ask them to keep a secret from us. Because if a grown-up says to you, don't tell your mom, that means tell me immediately.
And our oldest
is a red flag.
She is so good about doing that
yes.
Literally, I've been in the same room as you guys, and I've had like Reese's Cups or something, and I will give her one and be like, here, don't tell your mom because I don't want to share. And she'll immediately be like, we have Reese's over here. And it's like, bro. And it's like, well, you always said if someone says don't
yes.
tell mom,
yes.
then tell you immediately. But I'm like, this is different.
But part of that is also defining the difference between a secret and a surprise.
Yeah.
Because a surprise is a secret that has an end date and a happy ending, right? Like a surprise party or a birthday present. Like that's only a secret temporarily, and we are planning something to do something nice for someone. But a secret is kind of like, this feels kind of icky. Like if someone's asking you to keep a secret, like probably tell me.
Probably.
So that's just a really important thing for us, is that like I'm not as concerned about like little white lies, right? Because everyone lies. Like everyone lies about something all the time. And
I've lied about a bunch of things during this podcast.
You've lied about things at work, probably. I mean, like,
I told you I'm in customer service. That's my job. Right? I lie constantly. Like, how do you think I got the job?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm probably like a really honest person because I get uncomfy lying. Like I get really anxious about it. But it doesn't bother me when our kids tell little lies. Like I'm still encouraging the honesty. But my concern is to build that foundation of trust and communication. And then we have kids who aren't lying to us often. And the lies they tell are little white lies that we can see through.
They're like little baby lies.
They're little baby lies that are kind of adorable and sarcastic. That's, I think, the biggest lie I get told by my 9-year-old is it's always sarcastic. And I'm like, don't do this. And she's like, I'm not doing that, while she's very blatantly doing it like, in my face to be funny.
Clearly doing
it. Yeah. And that's what I prefer because it's... I just want trust, and trust doesn't mean that someone is 100% genuinely honest 100% of the time, because that's not what humanity is. And if you want to tell me that you don't lie, I'm going to call you a liar.
I'm going to call you a liar.
You know, like lying doesn't inherently mean that you're a bad person or have malicious intent. It just means that you're human and you have a human nature. So my goal is to just have my kids feel comfortable telling me when they make mistakes. And that requires a lot of work on my part, because kids want to naturally hide things because everyone wants to hide their mistakes, right? Like, I don't want people to know like that I mess things up and I make mistakes all the time. And so with kids, of course, it's their natural thing. Oh, well, I made a mess. I did whatever. I broke it. I'm going to hide it because I'm ashamed of it. Well, I don't want you to hide it. I want to be here to help you. And so it's building that trust for them. Like, I want them to trust me with their mistakes. They don't have to lie to me. And it's going pretty well.
So far.
It's going pretty well.
They're babies right now, though. Wait till they're teenagers.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves, is when people say to me, you know that.
Pet peeves or fears?
No, not. I'm not afraid of their teenage years, honestly.
I'm afraid because we will have three teenage girls simultaneously. And
it'll be fine.
Just having even three teenagers, period. Boys, girls, fine. Whatever. Just having that level of...
I'm only afraid of the pink tax, honestly. That's all I'm afraid of. But honestly...
That's why, we'll just buy the men's Gillette stuff.
That's not what I'm talking about, Jim. There's other... things that...
Oh, like the ladies deodorant and how like the men's degree does just as well and it also smells good. I understand. I feel you.
I'm talking about gotcha. Tampons.
Why are you talking about tampons?
Oh my gosh.
I don't need tampons. How's that? There's not even a men's version of
those. Oh my goodness. So anyway.
I don't, it's 2021.
That is, people often say this to me because I talk about this kind of open communication with my kids, and we do have a great open communication. My kids do not often lie to me, and they are young enough that if they do lie to me, I know it immediately because little kids are really bad liars.
They're bad liars.
But because I always know when they lie, I can call them on it without being rude or mean, and they can feel safe telling me the truth. And I feel like, I mean, obviously I don't have any proof in the pudding here. Like I only have what I've been through for the exact opposite of what I want with my kids. But I believe that building this foundation of trust and communication is only going to benefit us in their teenage years. And I might be wrong. I mean, I'm sure they're still going to hide things because, like, they're going to want more privacy than they do now. Yeah. And I'm going to respect that. But my hope is that when they're older, if they end up in trouble or making mistakes, that they're not going to feel like they can't tell me.
Yes.
That is so important to me. And so when people say, oh, you have this relationship with them now, wait till they're teenagers. Yes, I know how aging works. I know they're going to be teenagers someday, but they're not right now. I have 3 little kids. Let them be kids and let me parent my little kids. And if it doesn't go right, like I'm going to have to adjust and evaluate then. But I don't plan on parenting my kids as teenagers the same way I do now. That would be really weird if I treated a 16-year-old the same way I treat a 3-year-old. That would be really weird. I don't plan on doing that. So,
you could treat them the same. Like you're not going out tonight. You're not going out with your friends.
Yeah, it's true. I don't let Beanie Baby go out with her friends.
No, she's not going to go roaming the streets.
Right, yeah. So,
Probably like to.
She would. She loves taking walks.
She loves taking walks.
But either way, yeah, I mean, like lying, I don't want to encourage lying. I want to encourage honesty and communication and trust. But I also understand that like lying is human nature. So like it is what it is. And I'm going to call my kids on it. Like I call them out on it. I don't let them lie, but I don't want them to feel bad for making mistakes. So
liar, liar, plants for hire.
Liar, liar, plants for hire. So that's how do you handle lying, friends? Let us know. Let us know how you handle lying with your kids, what you think. Because, you know, I mean, we don't deal with a lot of lying, honestly. Like the lying in our house is such minimal things.
Yeah, or it's
avocado smashing. She just pre-made guacamole.
Yeah, it's starting the guacamole
she's
inside
just being
the
a bro.
Peel.
Yeah.
It's organic, all natural. I guess organic. I was going to say, what would you get at Whole Foods? It's pre-made guacamole inside the peel. There's got to be some kind of French word for that, like à la pelle.
Right.
I don't speak French, so that's terrible, but that's what we do. So let us know how you handle it. We'll be posting some links to the social medias where you can follow up and just have a discussion.
Yeah. And speaking of social media, come hang out with us. I'm on TikTok, Tori Phantom, Tori.Phantom on Instagram. I'm Tori Phantom on Twitter, where every once in a while I do tweet something. I'm on YouTube and Facebook. You know how to find me. Besties, you can find me. I want to hear from you.
I'm Jim Beard on TikTok. I am Jimmy Nips on Instagram. Jimothy Strange also on Instagram. I haven't been very socially active on really any of the accounts lately, other than maybe a couple of TikToks here and there. But that's really about it if you want to follow me. So we are here. And you know what? Do you see their eyes, Tori?
They look really tired.
They're looking a little tired.
Drink some water, besties.
Have some water. We're going to put you to bed.
Yeah, then we're going to drink some water and go to bed.
It's been a big day. I know you've had fun.
Which blanket do you want tonight?
I know you're sleepy. You know what? I know when you're lying. You are sleepy.
Yeah, don't tell me. Don't tell me you're hungry. I know you're just trying to stay out of bed.
Come on now. All right.
Come on. All right.
We're going to tuck you in. I've got the fan on. All right. I love you.
Bye.
I love you.